Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, November 30th, 2022, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. We participate in it. I think that has a lot to do with it, a great deal to do with it. And so we're trying to smooth out those bumps to whatever extent during this holiday season or holy day season. That was Kenneth Bruce Gorlick, known popularly as Kenny G, obviously super talented guy. And so that's how we begin today's broadcast. And from there, I think we'll dive into some of the bumps because we can, and that's what we do here, right? So before we actually get started, perhaps you've heard we are having a book drive at RBN, the John Stab Miller book drive. And as I have said, all donations of any amount are always much appreciated and gratefully accepted. This network exists because of you, the listener. That's just the simple reality. There is no Ford Foundation grant. There never will be, because what is discussed on this network is sort of antithetical to the interest that created and gave rise to organizations like the Ford Foundation and Rockefeller Foundation, Knight Foundation, etc., etc., etc. Those organizations exist to really forward an agenda that I would summarize as a return to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, the one world system, that was the first place we saw it. And it's interesting, you know, it's fascinating how we see all around us error that is intentionally put forward. A sliver of truth, but not entirely the truth, and therefore not the truth at all. Right Said Fred tweeted yesterday, according to The Guardian, if you have an opinion outside of the narrative, you're dangerous. Okay, well, that sounds interesting, but then citing the article, Guardian article about the Netflix show Ancient Apocalypse. Ancient Apocalypse is the most dangerous show on Netflix. Why is this being allowed? So, you know, my first thought is maybe it's not that you're dangerous, but you're just too sexy for your opinion. But then, you know, looking at the article, you know, pointing folks to that and implicitly or indirectly sort of legitimizing a thing that is not entirely on the up and up either, just, you know, leading people to more error is an interesting thing. So with that being said, this is a place where we speak out against and in opposition to the efforts to sort of weld everyone together and to create strategy of tension episodes and to employ shock doctrine and scenario planning and wargaming and, you know, strange Lovian kind of tactics to manipulate people, cybernetics, technocratic kinds of mechanisms. And so therefore, you know, it's, unless something radical changes, unless the Copernican revolution is halted, it's completely, I think, completely unrealistic or unimaginable to think that the Ford Foundation would underwrite RBN. So therefore, it's because of you, the listener, that RBN exists, and it's a testament to the audience and strength of character that RBN continues to bring a message that is increasingly disallowed and not in keeping with the popular or the establishment. You know, a lot of people think that they know what's going on. They don't understand that Kool-Aid comes in a variety of flavors. Anyway, all of that said, we're having a book drive now through January 8th. Donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadmiller himself. I think it's a great gift idea. There's still time. And speaking of that, Christmas is 25 days away now. And New Year's is 32 days away. So we're down to the wire, getting close, down to the wire. Officially, it's more like 24 days and 14 hours, 51 minutes to Christmas, and 31 days, 14 hours, 51 minutes to New Year's. But who's counting? So donations received after November 1st are eligible, even though we started on the 7th, was it? And for questions on that, call RBN at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Winners will be announced every Sunday evening during Hour 2 of Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins. And the sooner you enter, you know, entrants who don't win a book will carry over into the next week's drawing. So the sooner you enter, the greater your odds. And congratulations to past winners, Robert, Tyler, David, Ingrid. And thank you to everyone for your generosity in helping support the network. This week's book, Killzone, A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza by Craig Roberts. Again, you know, I think it's a great gift idea. People think that they know things, and then you say, you know, go listen to someone like John Judge or someone like Mae Brussel or, you know, Bill Cooper or, you know, folks from the way back. And then you realize, gosh, you know, maybe Kool-Aid does come in a variety of flavors, and I'm encouraged to just basically hop from flavor to flavor. Not quite what I thought. So I didn't know quite what I thought I knew. Propaganda comes in a variety of forms, shall we say. And lately, you know, we heard through the COVID shenanigans, and we heard before the COVID shenanigans in Event 201, the staged scenario planning exercise. It's interesting when you look at Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and these exercises that they do. The participants, they call players. They call them players. And we'll probably get into at least one of those shortly, because there have been several of those exercises, those scenario planning events, like Event 201. It's called 201 because it wasn't the first. So there are a couple of books that I was one is actually an article, not a book, but deal with, sort of touch on some of these and the folks involved in them. One of the people is Margaret Hamburg. She's an interesting character. Whitney Webb has written about her. And so we'll get into that. She's one of the players of the Clade X pandemic exercise. One of the players playing the role of Secretary of Health and Human Services. So we'll get into all of that. Actually, you know what? We might as well just dive in. But first, before we do, Oswald Chambers. Why? Because we can. I think, you know, this is to, again, this is not a proselytizing, but it is to say there's a difference between what the world says is Christianity and what is actually Christianity. Because what the world says is Christianity, I mean, obviously, don't let your enemy define terms. Come on, that's silly. I'm just saying, in the fashion of Pike's letter, which I didn't get back to yesterday, I didn't finish that thought. There's every effort to mislead people, make you think you know, when in reality, it's something else. So why not finish the thought on Pike's letter first? How about that? The Third World War was what I was concerned with, and this colliding of forces together, the clash of civilizations that we've literally been hearing about for 30 years, actually 100. Because, you know, if you read Huntington and Brzezinski at all, then they say, well, you know, it wasn't exactly my idea. So. But this concept has been in academic circles, it's been front of mind for decades. And it's, you know, it goes beyond the notion that, well, we're just speculating. And, you know, it incorporates other things, like I've said, Spengler's Decline of the West, that kind of a concept, you know, the Faustian Dark Winter. Speaking of exercises, why was it called a dark winter? Is it because it's the Spenglerian, Faustian dark winter they're trying to orchestrate and engineer? So, you know, focusing on the conflict or the clash of civilizations, which according to Huntington et al. Is along cultural lines. And isn't it funny that that's being fomented? There's evidence of that, and I will prove it. In a little bit, there was, speaking of things that have been written, Beatrice Bouffoy Bastic, I read about this a few years ago, or I read some of it. She wrote an article titled Rescuing Language Education from Neoliberal Disaster, Cultural Metric Predictions and Analyses of Future Policy. She wrote some pretty interesting things in this article back in 2015, and so I will draw from that. There's proof. You know, just because we don't understand the metrics and the, you know, just because I don't understand how to make an apple pie doesn't mean that there isn't a certain recipe and certain ingredients and a certain process that is followed, and that, you know, it has to cook for a certain amount of time for it to turn out. Just because I don't understand that doesn't mean it's real. And I suppose Clark's third law comes to mind. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. So if you want to wage continual campaigns of shock and awe to move people wherever you want, all the better to keep them dumbed down and to occlude information and knowledge of your parlor tricks from them. So Pike's letter to Mazzini, Albert Pike to Giuseppe Mazzini, August 15, 1871, without getting into the controversy of the letter, it outlines three world wars. And the first two occurred in a strikingly similar fashion to what we saw in the First and Second World Wars. And there's the politics, you know, that was at work behind the world wars. But without getting into all of that, the Third World War is kind of the focus. So Pike allegedly wrote this, you know, the outline of three world wars, including the third, which he wrote must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between political Zionists and the leaders of Islamic world. I would say that it's actually political Zionism versus political Islam. These are political constructs. The war must be conducted in such a way, and you know, the puritanical contingent, Zionists will tell you they're not political Zionists, they're Zionists, and Wahhabis will tell you they are the true Muslims. So, you know, you have to understand that nuance. But again, setting that aside, so the letter continues, the war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. Have we been seeing a social cataclysm on the rise? Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, but it's not really Christianity at all, is it? We are headed into a break. When we come back, I'll finish that thought and we'll go to Chambers and move on. Stick around, we'll be right back.
All the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas and
do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Favorite time of year. Snowflakes in the air, carols everywhere, olden times and ancient rhymes of love and dreams to share.
Welcome back. All right, let's finish this thought on Pike's letter to Mazzini and get to the point here. So Pike writes allegedly August 15, 1871 about these three world wars. The third must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the age and terror of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and leaders of the Islamic world, and conducted in such a way that the two destroy each other. And, you know, it's interesting to look back on history now and say, well, how could he imagine that, you know, such a thing could even happen when those forces weren't formally created at that point? You know, how could he envision that? And would say, you know, I mentioned William E. Blackstone in yesterday's, I believe it was yesterday's broadcast, and, you know, again, in 1916, Strauss wrote to Blackstone on behalf of Louis Brandeis. Let me back up, actually, from the Wikipedia entry for William E. Blackstone. If you're not familiar, Wikipedia says William Eugene Blackstone was an American evangelist and Christian Zionist. And I think we need to define terms, but, you know, Blackstone was influenced by Dwight Lyman Moody, James H. Brooks, James Hall Brooks, and John Nelson Darby. Interesting. He is remembered as the author of the Blackstone Memorial. He was the author of the Blackstone Memorial of 1891, a petition written by him, a Christian restorationist, they say, in favor of the delivery of Palestine to the Jews. Imagine that. You know, restoration of the Jews to the Holy Land, Ottoman Empire, you know, then you have you know, this calls to mind things like Waleed Khalidi's 1993 article in the Journal of Palestine Studies, The Jewish Ottoman Land Company, Herzl's Blueprint for the Colonization of Palestine. And you have these agreements happening literally by the turn of the 20th century, 1901, 1902. Herzl in conversation. Who is Theodor Herzl? Why is he somebody? And he's in conversation with Arminius Vainbury and Abdul Hamid, the Ottoman Sultan. What is going on here? And, we have as a backdrop this concept of Balkanization. Speaking of a clash of civilizations, Balkanization is sort of the, like a petri dish? Not really. It's, something of a scientific experiment that proves that, this can be done in a place where you would think it would never be done. You can foment a clash of cultural identities that have been foisted upon people. Anyway, the Wikipedia entry reads, Blackstone and his daughter traveled to the Holy Land in 1888. He returned convinced that a return of the Jewish people to its ancient homeland was the only possible solution to the persecution the Jews suffered elsewhere. On November 24 and 25, 1890, Blackstone organized the Conference on the Past, Present, and Future of Israel at the First Methodist Episcopal Church in Chicago, where participants included leaders of both Jewish and Christian communities, albeit not leaders of the Reform movement. The conference issued a call urging the great powers, including the Ottoman Empire, to return Israel to the Jews. Resolutions of sympathy for the oppressed Jews living in Russia were passed, but Blackstone was convinced that such resolutions, even though passed by prominent men, were not sufficient. He advocated strongly for the voluntary resettlement of the Jewish people suffering under the virulent anti-Semitism in Israel. A year later, in 1891, Blackstone led a petition drive. Finish when we come back. Stick around, grab it.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee. And I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee. And after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause. cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
We're together, though the weather may keep us inside. We'll take it in stride by the fireside. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight,
welcome back.
I hate going out in the storm.
All right, so to finish this thought here on William Blackstone, get back to the other stuff, to back out of this letter from Pike to Mazzini, the creation of these forces that didn't exist before the 20th century. So William E. Blackstone takes a trip to the Holy Land, and a year later, Blackstone, after the conference that he organized in 1890, in 1891, Blackstone led a petition drive that was approved by the conference. It was later known as the Blackstone Memorial. You know, kind of reminds one of, you know, in a similar context, Luther's 95 Theses kind of thing. The memorial was signed by 413 prominent Christian and a few Jewish leaders in the United States. Blackstone personally gathered the signatures of men such as John D. Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, Cyrus McCormick, senators, congressmen, religious leaders of all denominations, newspaper editors, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and others for the Blackstone Memorial. He presented the memorial to President Harrison March 1891, calling for American support of Jewish restoration to Israel. His petition presaged and paralleled the later ideas of Theodore Herzl, the founder of the State of Israel, whose establishment of modern Zionism was outlined in his book Der Judenstaat, 1896. The Blackstone Memorial read, in part, "Why shall not the powers which, under the Treaty of Berlin in 1878, gave Bulgaria to the Bulgarians and Serbia to the Serbians, now give Palestine back to the Jews? These provinces, as well as Romania, Montenegro, and Greece, were wrested from the Turks." And, but, you know, can Satan cast out Satan? I mentioned the Christmas Chronicles 2 yesterday, and how even NPR, you know, KCRW noted that the story that's supposed to be a kid's story, but it's not really, you know, when you have the maker of Gremlins making a children's movie, you have to wonder. For starters, but you know, dug deeply into the story, the backstory of Santa Claus, kind of, you know, to an extent, including the origins in Turkey. So, can Satan cast out Satan? No. Well, then what's really going on? That's a different discussion. But so these provinces were wrested from the Turks and given to their natural powers. Does not Israel have does not Israel as rightfully belong to the Jews? Blackstone wrote. Also in 1891, Blackstone stated that the general law of dereliction, quote-unquote, did not apply to the Jews in regard to Palestine, for they never abandoned the land, they made no treaty, they did not even surrender. See, what's interesting is man's doing things. I'm just as a parenthetical aside, another, I suppose. Man is doing things. And I would say in contravention to what Scripture clearly states, which is ironic when you have a gentleman known as an evangelist and reformer, et cetera, et cetera. You have to wonder what's really going on here. Are we being fed a story on purpose? So they made no treaty. They did not even surrender. They simply succumbed after the most desperate conflict to the overwhelming power of the Romans. And I guess the last thing I would say on the point that I was making is, if you put yourself in direct opposition to something that God has stated, I don't think that bodes well. Learning of the rise of the Zionist movement led by Theodore Herzl, Blackstone became an outspoken and ardent supporter of Zionism, while Herzlian Zionism considered the offer by the British government of an interim Jewish state in Uganda, he campaigned against it. He sent to Herzl a personal Bible outlined with the specific biblical references to Jewish restoration to Israel only. The Bible was said to have been prominently displayed on Herzl's desk for many years. It is no longer locatable. Imagine that. Kind of like the letter from Pike to Mazzini. No, it was a thing. It was right there on his desk. Well, where is it? You know what? What was that? Look over there. In 1904, he began teaching that the world has already been evangelized, citing Acts 2:5, 8:4, Mark 16:20, and Colossians 1:23. As one of the most popular evangelists in the United States, he traveled extensively, continuing to spread the gospel until his death 31 years later. You know, so you have guys like Blackstone, you know, before, say, Billy Graham, for example, you know, you have someone like William E. Blackstone. Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis rediscovered the Blackstone Memorial in 1916, but again, this dates back to 1891. So, you know, quarter of a century earlier. And, you know, obviously predates Herzl's Zionist Congress, which is interesting. You know, you have this coalescing of forces around the same time. Everybody just has the same idea. Imagine that. Is it that, or is there something more going on here? Something deeper at work. Learning of the rise... Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis rediscovered the Blackstone Memorial in 1916. During the period of his raucous, at times anti-Semitic, congressional appointment hearings, Brandeis, as head of the American Zionist movement, utilizing... So, you know, you have to kind of just think about these two sentences alone. What is really going on? What is really going on? Brandeis, as head of the American Zionist movement, utilizing the intercession of Nathan Strauss. And who was Nathan Strauss? A very wealthy, well-connected gentleman himself. You know, co-owner of the Macy chain, R.H. Macy and Company. And anyway... backstory there too, but continuing, Nathan Strauss wrote to Reverend Blackstone May 16, 1916 on behalf of Brandeis. Strauss wrote on behalf of Brandeis. So, you know, this is one of those things you can see if you don't just gloss over or breeze through what you're reading. Even Wikipedia is revealing. Why was Nathan Strauss a very well-to-do gentleman? Why was he writing on behalf of Brandeis? So Strauss wrote to Reverend Blackstone May 16, 1916 on behalf of Brandeis. Mr. Brandeis is perfectly infatuated with the work that you have done along the lines of Zionism. It would have done your heart good to have heard him assert what a valuable contribution to the cause your document is. In fact, he agrees with me that you are the father of Zionism, as your work antedates Herzl. And, you know, there's a little bit more, but these are the forces that are at work at the turn of the 20th century and around the time, actually, you know, because Blackstone and his daughter traveled to the Holy Land in 1888. What was the impetus that gave rise to this? In 1878, he wrote Jesus is Coming. His book became the veritable reference source of American dispensationalist thought, speaking of Moody, Brooks, and Darby et al. Over the next 50 years, Jesus is Coming sold millions of copies worldwide. It was translated in 48 languages. So this is right around the time that, you know, Pike allegedly writes this letter. And so you can see, you can imagine, I think, very easily that from 1871 to 1878, the who's who of a nefarious network, I would say, you know, no, but this guy, I mean, William E. Blackstone, really? Moody, Brooks, Darby, all these folks? I'm not going to say that they meant to do evil, but somebody, some power somewhere meant it for evil. And I think it's a biblical counterfeit. I think it's a man-made. It's clearly man-made. I mean, there's, what evidence is there to the contrary? You read in 1 Corinthians, you know, for those who would challenge and say, well, yeah, but you know, what if God was working through those men? And what if he was the one orchestrating it? Okay, well, then who gets the credit? And if you wonder how that's supposed to look, read 1 Corinthians 1. It's a short chapter. And Paul reminds us, he says, for indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then he says, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Why? Why would God do that? Doesn't that seem like, well, that's just going to give him a bad reputation? No, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. That's why. And so who gets the credit? Who gets the glory? Is it God or is it Blackstone and Herzl and Brandeis and Morgan and Rockefeller and McCormick and, you know, for that matter, Moody and Darby and, you know, Arthur James Balfour and on and on. Who gets the credit? Who gets the glory? When we all gather, and if this is a great thing, if it's a great moment in the biblical tapestry, shall we say, as is alleged by folks like William E. Blackstone, then when everyone gathers, does everyone pray and say, thank you, Lord, or do they say, thank goodness for William E. Blackstone? Thank goodness for Theodore Herzl and I think the answer is self-evident. I think it's a rhetorical question. So, it's a very manufactured series of events. And on the other side of the coin, the Saudi Arabian side, it's the same story. British intrigue creates this thing that otherwise did not and would not exist. in simple terms. And so we need to move on. We need to press on. Back to Pike's letter to Mazzini, just to conclude that. The multitude disillusioned with Christianity. I hope that the backdrop that I painted over the last 150 years or so, which, you know, I mean, that tapestry that I just sort of described is this thing that Pike is referring to as Christianity. That's not Christianity, though. Well, what is it? Well, I'll get to that in what Oswald Chambers wrote. The multitude disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction. You can see that everywhere in America right now. It's Christianity light. You know, it's all of the kind of stoic principles, ascetism. No, Jesus wasn't an ascetist. Paul spoke out about this kind of stuff. Bodily discipline is of little profit, but godliness is profitable in all things, both in this life and the life to come. Whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction. You might be able to get by with the kind of stoic kind of mindset for a time, but there are things that happen that will overwhelm us eventually. Whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. The manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. Well, then what remains? Revelation chapter 13 is what remains. And that starts to get grim. This all, to me, hearkens the reinvigoration of Hellenization, which has been ongoing for the last 2,500 years, but has been significantly reinvigorated over the last 500 years. The modern incarnation of the ancient Hellenistic influence on overdrive. And this time of year, the symbolism is all around us. And so I've been trying to, you know, outline some of those concepts in recent weeks leading up to the climax of the holiday season, if you will, you know, Christmas and New Year's. It's an interesting time of year with the duality and the paradoxical nature of things and the symbolism. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's easeoff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour. Let's go to the phones. Chris in Virginia, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, can you hear me?
Good morning,
Chris. Good morning, Chris. Hey, sometimes you're hard to follow, but that's good because I like smart people that make me think. But it's basically the gist of everything you were just going over, that it's possible that the so-called, that Israel was created as prophecy, and that's why it's a nation, and all these things we've always heard, like it's a great miracle, that could basically be all BS.
I think it's a counterfeit. I think what was orchestrated is the counterfeit of the biblical outline. And I think the clear evidence of that is, like you said, I mean, if you follow the biblical outline that even William E. Blackstone offered, it's God's doing, and it's not man who gets credit for it. But this thing that has happened over the last 150 years has been an immense effort on the part of just a few men. You know, probably ultimately you could boil it down to less than two dozen over the period of 50 to 100 years. You know, it's probably more like a dozen.
That's very interesting. That sort of crossed my mind at some point in time, but did you bring that? That's actually a relief to hear, because you shall know them by their fruits, right?
Yeah.
What has Israel done? Like, what are their fruits? Horrible stuff.
It's from its origins, it is a terrorist organization. And still to this day, as I keep mentioning, you know, the UN Human Rights Council, UNHRC, says that Israel and Saudi Arabia, these two flashpoints of this collision, are the worst human rights. Even the UNHRC, which is basically, you know, the devil's handmaiden as well, it's part of the United Nations contingent, obviously, even it says that Israel and Saudi Arabia are the worst human rights violators on the planet. So, isn't it interesting that
policy, right, Chris?
Yeah, Yeah. So, you know, isn't it interesting that they're crusading for the creation of these forces? Yeah.
Right. And aren't they like second to China in the vaccine policy and severity or something like that?
What can we take at face value, you know, based on what we hear in the press? I'm not sure what we can take at face value, but it seems that that's the case.
Well, I know a guy from Israel came over here, and I met him, and he said, I've had 5 shots, so we know that they're doing it to those people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the music. Yes. Yeah, if you want, stick around, and we'll talk about this some more when we come back. If not, I understand, but... that'll do it for the first hour, folks. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.